Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webb here at StuWebb.com, and it is November the 22nd, 2020. On this day in history, we lost a president, the Daddy Bush, who was there in Dealey Plaza, was involved in his murder, a whole bunch of others, and I think I'll do a show this week with Jim Fetcher because he knows as much as I do on that subject. And maybe you do too, Paul, and like to join us. But man, he's really covered and investigated every angle of it. I'll try to do one on it because it points to the Bush Crime Syndicate. Now, that said, I have Professor Paul on with me. I have Jeff on, and I have Heidi on, which I had the honor to have steak dinner with him on Friday night right here. They brought the steaks, and great. Anyway, great people, educated, knowledgeable. Christians and what they're doing. And it was good that they came down here. I have new friends other than just a voice on the phone. I want to tell you folks something. It's getting ready to happen. I'm going to start doing a show at least a couple times a week with these people because they are in tune with what is really going on. They got their eyes open. They got their ears open. They got their hearts open. They got Jesus in them. So with that said, I say, welcome, Paul. Welcome, Jeff. Welcome, Heidi. And Paul, do you want to take it from here?
Thanks, Stu. It's great that you allow us to come on and very pleased to be on. I want to start off with Jesuit theater, learning against learning. Now, I understand that most people, when they hear me say Jesuit theater and learning against learning, are going to say, what? I've never heard about this. Jesuit theater starts with the horse track. What the Jesuits have done is they've infiltrated every government. Now that includes China, Russia, Israel, Iran, all of South America. They've owned South America for hundreds of years, several hundred, maybe even more.
And all the churches and Christian community.
Yes. They've infiltrated every church, every seminary, every public school system, and they've bragged about all of it. And you can even go back to 1620 or 1560 or 18, whatever. And if you read their literature, if you read what they've written, if you read the papal bulls, you understand that there are a number of branches of the Catholic Church. There's the Dominicans, there's the Franciscans, and there are other similar branches, but the Jesuits own all of them. And what you've got with Jorge Bergoglio, now the audience is going to know him as Francis. Well, there haven't been any popes named Francis for a long, long, long time. And he selected Francis deliberately because they think they're far enough along now that he can be Francis and pretty close to the false prophet in my estimation. But what is Jesuit theater? Well, you have to understand, first of all, by infiltrating all of the major countries and the minor countries, they control the military industrial intelligence complex in all of these various countries. And not only do they, control the military intelligence industrial complex, but they control the educational systems, they control the media. They control the economy, and Joffrey's going to ask a couple questions here about the economy here in a few minutes. But the reason I want to focus on Jesuit theater and learning against learning is they have the narrative, and the narrative, I regret to inform you, I believe includes Donald Trump. And we know from the horse track that when you go to the horse track, they own the track, they own the horses, They own the owners of the horses. They own the jockeys. They own the veterinarians. They own the trainers. They own the odds makers. They own the casinos. And they set all of those different entities up as silos or compartments. So, you know, whatever horse wins, whatever owner wins, whatever jockey wins, they own all of them. Now, I want to take that horse track and silos and compartments and put it onto a chessboard. If our audience isn't aware of it, probably the audience knows as much as I do about this, but they love chess.
Paul, if I may interrupt just for a moment.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, Trump meant well when he went into office. And we can get into that a little bit later. But I don't think he was ever compromised. But after having, you know, attempts upon his life, and taste tests instead, and Google fiber truck full of explosives trying to pull on the tarmac down there in Springfield, those events, and probably a couple of shapeshifters in front of him. And he realized the power around him. I know that, you know, there are things going on right now. It's a final battle between a good group and a bad group of people, former and current within government. And the bad group outnumbers the good guys. So if the day comes, I'm going to back up the good guys. But Trump's in trouble. Now, the chess play in the bigger picture was basically the Knights Templars, from what I understand, which they fit into that category, if I'm not mistaken. But go ahead and continue.
Well, I love how your mind works, and the agility is so good for me, because now I'm about ready to turn it over to you guys. So Donald Trump is contesting the election, and I think anyone that is awake and aware and that really still wants the truth recognizes it's very important for the president to be able to exercise his constitutional rights. What all the people on social media like FaceSpace and Instagram and Twitter or whatever you call them anymore, if you go on those sites, you are going to find the nadir. And the nadir means, you know, low, very low, like you can't go any lower. But actually, go on those social media sites, and you can go lower. We have been dumbed down to the degree where it's Jesuit theater. They control the narrative, and that's why I want to bring up one Rudy Giuliani. Rudy Giuliani covered up major pedophilia at West Point, and then he covered up 9/11. And now Rudy Giuliani is the point person for the selection fraud, for the, it's so blatantly obvious that they decided that they were going to create a contested election.
You got a point. You got a very good point, Paul. And if I may, who's the one that appointed Giuliani? Got convinced. Kellyanne Conway. And convinced Trump to pick Bill Barr and to pick this one, this one. I put the blame on Kellyanne Conway. I know people going inside the White House. I know that to be fact. So go ahead.
Well, she is what you call an asset. Kellyanne Conway is a traitor.
She is.
She's another person that sedition and treason, they're almost too kind. Because what happens is people get turned. And once people get turned, they lose conscience and they lose compassion. And once you lose conscience and compassion, you really aren't human as we know them to be human. In other words, they will do whatever it takes to fulfill their aphrodisiac, which is normally power or sex or money. And those are the
old blood now, you know, the blood drinkers right along with them.
And once you go there, you're worshiping the groves or the high places, and you're serving Baal or Beelzebub. And once you serve them, you are serving the fallen ones. Now, some call the fallen ones aliens, and it's just pretty obvious to me that they are the deceivers. And we are here to get out of the matrix. And if people are saying, well, what does it all mean? Well, you're here, you're being tested. And we all need to rise up now. We need to have a lot of courage and boldness. But I want to return to Rudy Giuliani just briefly. So we knew, I mean, we were talking about this months before. We're going to have a contested election. It's by script. It's manufactured. It's by plan. And so you've got Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell and, you know, Dr. Bennett. I like the guy. I'm impressed. I love his efficacy. And he certainly speaks with conviction. Dr. Fetzer knows certainly a lot about a lot, knows what he's talking about. And it's important to hear their voices because they really believe in some way if we expose and we put these guys to sunlight that we're going to get a favorable result. But I just want to point out some things about Donald Trump.
After 38 years, Paul, being a whistleblower, there's no justice in America.
It's all
factory dream. There's two sets of rules. One's for the bad guys and one's for the good guys. And we're the good guys. We're always getting jailed. And the bad guys, they escape. And another scandal and it just blows off. And you got another one. Go ahead.
Jesuit theater. All right. So I could, you know, the rants that you and I can go on are full of passion and they're very well developed. But I want to bring in Steve and Heidi. Guys, are you here? Did you hear my introduction about Jesuit theater, learning against learning, where black is white and up is down, and how they control the narrative? Joffrey, do you want to weigh in on either my monologue there or my prelude, or do you want to introduce what you got?
No, I think I'm going to expand on that a bit. So we have, I'm going to use your analogy, maybe of a chessboard, but is Donald Trump a piece on the chessboard, or is he a rook, or is he a queen? What role does he play in the big picture? What part is he of a chess game? You could say that, well, no, he has all the authority of the queen. He can move anywhere he wants, do what he wants. He's got all the latitude and freedom to do so. But maybe not. So setting this thing up, like you and Stu have mentioned, is, okay, what if we support Donald, want Donald to win? There's no doubt about it. I have no reservations about that. Now, could it be that he is a pawn more than he is a queen or a rook? Possibly. And if so, would the setup be more brilliant to introduce a close call, a contested election, to then call out the liars and the accusers on their own game and say, Donald Trump is trying to steal the election, even though that's the very thing that Dominion Software seems to prove they have actually done. So the Rules for Radicals says what you do is you find what your opponent, what you don't like about, you're going to interject or you're going to function or operate in, and you point at your opponent and say, that's what they're doing, exactly what you're doing. So Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals, which, by the way, I think on the cover, I'm not so sure that he didn't dedicate it to Satan. But anyway, this is Hillary and Barry's fond friend, the Rules for Radicals book. So anyway, could Trump just be this person who's being the pawn in the sense that this election comes up, it's so close, and now he gets it back? Well, what does that do? That puts us and descends us down a very rough patch. I mean, like the left has said, and the Antifas and the Black Lives, we're going to burn down every city, of course, which the cities they're in, which we know which cities they participate in. But, you know, that's their end. We're going to burn it all down. Give us our way, or we're going to burn it all down. And we don't care how we win, as long as we don't care if we steal. We don't care if we lie. We don't care if we cheat. As a matter of fact, that's all fine because the means serves the end and the end serves the means. So it doesn't matter how we get there. It just matters that we get there. So now it is either this great double reverse chess piece move or it is as we see it. But like you said, everything you and Stu see 30,000 feet because you guys have been around history. You guys have been around reality, seeing what's happened. You guys have a different perspective, not by virtue of who you guys are and what you study. And so for a listening audience...
It's called wisdom and knowledge. You gain it every year. It's called wisdom and knowledge. When you get to be old guys like us, like Paul and me, hey, that's the only thing you gain in life, wisdom and knowledge.
Well, amen for it. Amen for it. But it gives you perspective. And so you can step back and say, wait a minute, we've seen this game before. We've seen this played out before. So either Trump is one of the horses, he's one of the jockeys, but he doesn't own the track, and we know that. So when you pull somebody like the Donald out as a piece of the bigger picture, you can begin to see how this all kind of fits together a little more tightly and what's at stake. And what's at stake ultimately is control by the bad guys. They'll sacrifice a few players along the way. Like Steve said, do you see left wing, do you see the left going to jail? Do you see Wasserman Schultz go to jail? Do you see Einstein, who has, a 20 years, basically an accomplice, a spy, that's her chauffeur? I mean, these people don't go to jail. Now, Flynn, Stone, you get people on the right side, and they go to jail. So there is two sets of rules. There's two sets of laws. The people reach a point to where they say, we've been encumbered, we've been strapped down, this isn't fair, we have had enough. And as we said before, gentlemen, I turn this back to you guys, what is enough?
It's hard to be patient, and it's even more difficult to be patient when we've been exposed to the theater that there's always food around the corner. Food around the corner for me, for us.
Isn't patience virtue?
It is, Stu. And what I want to do in this broadcast and all broadcasts is be unvarnished. And that is to have a sound mind, to be bold and courageous, even when the truth is very inconvenient. Heidi, I would like you to weigh in a little bit on your experience today. I took you for a tour, and we kind of started in a neighborhood where, most of the homes were $800,000, $900,000, and then you kind of end up in the $4 to $5 million homes. What signage did you observe today as we got... I mean, obviously, I knew where I was going and where I was taking you and so forth. But as we got more into the luxury Tony, $4 to $5 million, that would be $20 million in Beverly Hills. What signage did you see people were displaying?
It was definitely Black Lives Matter. And any of us, and probably many of your listeners, do understand that this is not an entity that truly cares about helping Black people, Black brothers and sisters, to grow. They do not use those funds for good. It is an evil entity. It is one just outwardly, they're very bold in their witchcraft practices. And in my opinion, that is absolutely nothing more than a slap in the face to my brothers and sisters who are created in God's image. And that absolutely infuriates me. Now, as I say that, the element in me, the way that God created me, was starting to surface and boil over. I thought, okay, Heidi, go knock on the door. Talk to them. Ask them questions. Be loving. Be kind. Be genuine. And seriously, ask these questions. Hey, I'm curious. Why, what do you know about Black Lives Matter? And literally, genuinely ask them those questions, because there's an element in my heart that I believe there might be some people that put those signs in their yards, so that they know that these are terrorists paid by Soros and friends. There's probably some that do that so that their homes are not destroyed, because we know that is the plan, ultimately, what they want to do to incite fear and control. I mean, these precious people, and I say, and I'm guessing many of them do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but that does not mean for one moment, in my estimation, that they cannot come to the saving grace of Christ. And so I'm always looking at things through that set of lenses. And so it makes me just rile in anger, righteous anger, because I'm thinking, this damn George flipping sicko Soros, evil to the core, are using these people like puppets for his game. And I think, you son of a bitch, do not use that beautiful, wondrous creation for evil. That makes me sick. But getting back to going through these neighborhoods, I mean, they were palatial, they were beautiful, and not for one moment do I look at that and struggle with covetousness. I look at that and I'm like, oh, look at these people. They, for whatever reason, they've attained a great amount of worldly wealth. You know what? Those mansions, Jesus promised, he is in heaven. He is preparing a dinner table unlike anything else. He is preparing many mansions in heaven. And that, my friends, is eternal. That is mind-blowing. It is beyond what we could ever fathom on this earth. So my point being is this. I think there is a bit of a protective element. Maybe that some of those folks might have those signs in their yard so that they might hopefully be bypassed should some factions of Black Lives Matter come to start wreaking havoc, causing chaos, confusion, and calamity. Some may genuinely believe that they are doing something that is very honorable by conveying those kinds of messages, and some I'm a bit perplexed, but Professor Paul, I may go tomorrow and knock on doors and just literally, that's that side of me. I have an unquenchable curiosity, and I love connecting with people, and I truly want to know how they think and why they think the way they do.
Paul, can I comment here?
Stu, we welcome your insight and your dialogue.
After meeting Heidi, you can't be anything but in love with her as a person, because that's her.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
And they're meant for each other. It's pretty obvious. But here's the deal. What she's telling you, if she were explaining to you in person, because I had dinner with her, had several hours with her, and Jeff, and I feel like I have new friends. But she's just
We're brothers. Sisters.
Brothers and sisters, definitely in Christ, and brothers and sisters and friends forever. But
amen.
Here's the point. Here's the point. These people are sweet people, but they're warriors for Christ. She's a sweetheart, and you tone her voice, but she also has righteous anger. Son of a bitch, that's righteous anger. I think when you were down here, because I had a drink, folks, relaxing, having a great steak brought down here, the first one I had in 3 years, and fabulous. I couldn't eat it all. But here was the point. You probably heard me say F-U-C blank maybe 100, 200 times. Get me bent on the bushes and the crime syndicate and where we're at in Revelations. I want to take up their heads off. I think both of you kind of get that message where I stand. That's David and Goliath in me. But she has that righteous anger also. But the righteous anger is in a peaceful mode. Her mind's in the, I want to go nuts on. That's the difference. Prayer makes the difference in the righteous mode instead of the anger mode, which I get into. I just want to say that.
Thank you.
But there's a lot there that we could.
By the way, how's my adopted niece and nephew, Lexus and Lexi and Princess?
Well, they love you, Sue. And I do too, my brother.
Sue, you know, you hit it with your different, your appreciation of your different perspectives on anger, compassion, love. Ecclesiastes, you represent a portion of a time and a season for everything. And you represent that really, really well in your passion for plain, flat truth and getting to the bottom of something and being right. And, you know, no one can take that away from you. And that's what makes you stew. But that's what makes you a warrior, your passion for truth. And if we all had a little more of that passion that you have, that righteous anger and that, like Heidi would say, that masculine, that manly man side that's attractive to, frankly, women is they honor a guy that, man, he says it and he means it, you know. And so you're no nonsense, which is really...
you're no nonsense really either. Hey, when the war breaks out, hey, I'm glad to know we got some solid warriors out here.
Yeah. There's no doubt. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Paul, back to you guys. I just, go ahead.
Well, I want to pick up on a comment that Stu made. A little bit of Q&A for the audience and for you guys. Anyone want to answer the question, why didn't David who killed Goliath and his four brothers, why wasn't he allowed to build the temple? Why did Solomon get to build the temple instead? What
I can't speak to that because you taught me that already. I can't speak to that, but maybe the others can. I know the answer now, but go ahead.
Stu or Heidi, you want to venture to why David wasn't allowed to build the temple?
Go ahead, Heidi.
You know, I got to say, it's foggy. I'm gonna guess with pride for falling prey to his sinful nature.
Joffrey, the answer.
Yeah,
He wasn't allowed to.
Yeah.
Was it because of the affair with the woman?
No, it was not. But that, by the way, now that's an important point, and we could go into a teaching here, but we don't want to do that because that is not really our focus. That's not really our competency or our mission here.
Go ahead. Hey, I'm in the dark too. I'm in the fall.
The answer, and Joffrey knows, too much blood.
Yep.
Too much blood was shed by David. Well, David was after God's heart, obviously, and God truly loved David, and Jesus comes from David's line. David was an amazing king, but he was very human, and he made some huge mistakes. And the hiding of the affair with Solomon's mother, Bathsheba, of course, was a big deal. But David had too much blood on his hands. He was a warrior. Now, what did David believe in? Well, David believed in righteousness and justice. And when you really get deep into the spiritual walk or into relationship, what you really thirst for, what you're really hungry for, is righteousness and justice. And I think our listeners can relate, whether you are a believer or not a believer, what you really wanted was a fair election. And we are really to the point where the propaganda, the mind control, the social engineering is so thorough, so complete, that the hierarchy has been externalized. Well, if you're with me so far, you may know that there was a woman who basically gave the blueprint for the United Nations. Her name was Mary Alice Bailey. She channeled 21 volumes, the externalization of the hierarchy. And the whole plan, of course, is one world government, one world religion, one world currency. And Joffrey, I know we said we're going to keep this short 50 minutes. Could you please take us from my Jesuit theater and expand upon the economic aspect of Jesuit theater? Because quite frankly, when I showed you the Alan Greenspan 2013 CFR Foreign Affairs, I never saw it coming. I mean, we looked at each other and said, they love to deceive. What they're really about is deceit. They just love to call black, white, and up, down, and so forth. But we've been living on a phony currency. And, you know, I got all these degrees, and it's just a bunch of nonsense because it's propaganda. It's social engineering. It is learning against learning. They teach you one false construct after another. And then when you say, well, Keynesian economics is smoke and mirrors, it's sorcery. When you say those things, then you encounter these academics who they want to debunk what you're saying, and yet you just look at them and you say, how can you not know that I'm speaking the truth? Enough from me. Take us into the economy.
Could it be one of the things they want to do is they want to partner with everybody? You have to have them in your lives in order to succeed, in order to do anything.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You see, because, and I'll just stop after I make this comment. Remember after Jesus told Pilate, Pilate said, what's truth? And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Not in this dimension. And what did the people do? They chose Barabbas. And Barabbas was a more appealing choice to them because, oh, if Jesus isn't here for an earthly kingdom, then we're not on board. Anyway, I make that in a context because you indicated there's this importance to join in with their agenda. And the crazy thing about joining their agenda is they want you dead. Oh, they care, all right. They care for sure. And they care so much they want you all dead. They want us dead, and we can't go into the roundups because that's part of their plan. But Joffrey, can you go back to the economy and kind of explain where are we at right now with the Great Reset? I mean, who dare calls a Great Reset more and more concentration of wealth in fewer and fewer people, and all these people are satanic. They worship Lucifer.
Hey, Jeffrey, a financial expert without saying any more, folks.
Thank you. That's gracious. You know, Stu, when you mentioned, you know, you have to be in league or in a line with them, you know, you've got a tax code that traces back to the individual, everything that he makes and earns, and you know, and part of that is not your property because that's already been expressed as you've got a social security number that was given to you that was assigned a portion of that profit to a collector. So we're in a system that grows exponentially by debt, and so therefore for the Federal Reserve to say, hey, look, here's a $20 bill, we're going to create it out of thin air. But we're going to require the taxpayer pay the interest on that $20 bill under the stated rate. So we are bonded to the currency or the system that they are requiring us to use. We're not in a free society where we can barter, hey, I've got two chickens. You know, Stu's got a hatchet and a hammer. Professor Paul, you've got a wheelbarrow. You know, I think I could use that. I'll give you a couple of chickens to borrow your wheelbarrow. And I need to borrow Stu's sledgehammer. You know, we're not in a reciprocal type of fungible barter system by design because our manpower, our labor can be abducted and it can be used. And There was a song called, and I think you guys probably know this, but some of the older listeners too, but I Owe My Soul to the Company Store. That ring a bell?
With me, absolutely. All of that stuff is so pronounced and etched in my mind. You know, at 14, when I figured out how the world really worked, I was despondent. And I know a lot of people that are a lot worse than me, but reality is reality. And the only way to be bold and courageous is to acknowledge what reality is. And debt slavery, and I Owe My Soul to the Company Store. Yeah, I'm cracking. Yeah, absolutely.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
Hey, so can I say something real quick?
Yeah, Stu, you get to. It's your show.
When I was a kid out of the Marine Corps Reserve, you know, out of boot camp and back in the reserve, 2 weeks training, I mean, active, you know, each year and every month and all the other. But we were Marine Corps Division, 4th Marine Division. So when the division got activated, which we did a couple of times, it woke me up about 2 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, get your ass in here. Within an hour, I had to be there. No shower, no nothing. You know, wet the hair and go in there and put the uniform on. It was a point. We had a colonel that ran the, and I was 0151, a Remington Raider. I took care of the records. I answered to a sergeant above me, who later became a tile setter. A good friend hid me out from the FBI. Won't say no more. When they were trying to make me a political prisoner, hit me out in Austin, kept me alive for 45 days. Here's another point to it. We worked for the SEAL, the captain. Matter of fact, I got to fly the helicopter. I learned how to fly a helicopter, sitting in the front being his bodyguard. 0151, Remington Raider, took care of the records. I get out, 18, Marine Corps, Ford Motor Company, I apply. They hired me. Within 6 months, I was in the repair division. They called it Shit City. Everything came down there. Different color fenders, different transmissions, different this, different that, doors. I mean, there was all kinds of crap. I got to change it out. Well, I kept up with it because I was a, you know, kid mechanic at 12 years of age. So they're like so impressed that the line manager, and he was like not a VP, but the plant manager for the night shift at the time, we were building 4 trucks. He's like, we're going to keep you down here, Webb. Here, I'm signing off. I'm making you temporary repair. Well, I got stuck there until I quit. And Greenwald, the guy's name was Greenwald. He had been a colonel in the Marine Corps. He was a plant manager at night. He was always coming by and checking on me. Hey, Webb, what are you going to change to stop this or stop that from flowing down here to Shit City where you're at? Okay, that's annoying. Well, I turned in my resignation a couple of weeks before I turned 21. And go in the real estate building business. So I turned my resignation, and he says, he comes down and sees me in person. He said, what the hell is going on, Webb? What do you mean, sir? He says, you're not going to resign. I said, sir, I put in my resignation. I mean, you notice. He says, no. He said, I'm promoting you to supervision. I said, Mr. Greenwald. I said, sir, I thank you very much. I stuck my hand out, shook his hand. But I said, he said, you make about $25,000 a year instead of $13,000 a year. Well, that was good money back in 72, $13,000 a year take home, busting my rear end 12 hours a day in the Shit City move. I said, sir, I have a question for you. And I had a little buggy, folks. You know, I wouldn't bow down if I wanted to take off on a little buggy and go find a little part that I didn't need. I could do it, okay, any place in the plant. So he says, I said, sir, I have one question for you. He says, if you're going to promote me, I have this question that the rumor has it around here at Ford Motor Company. In order to move up to the president of Ford Motor Company or the vice president, you have to be married to a Ford family member. Sir, is that true? He was a colonel in the Marine Corps, retired. He started laughing. He goes, well, yeah. I said, sir, I hear you're married to a Ford family member. He started laughing. He says, yeah. And he'd drive from Ford Motor Company in Claycomo over to Overland Park, Kansas. You know the area, Paul. Anyway,
I do.
New truck every night. You know, he'd pick a truck out. He wanted to drive home to test it. Anyway, he started laughing. He goes, what point are you trying to make, Stuart? I said, sir, are there any good-looking single-family female Ford members that are within my age that you could introduce me to? He started laughing. He says, no, there aren't. No granddaughters, no daughters. He goes, no. I said, well, sir, you see what I'm talking about? I don't see a future with Ford Motor Company. He says, I understand why you're resigning, Mr. Webb. Is that the corporate structure?
Yeah. We talked earlier today about the most, well, it's a private corporation, and I think it's the highest capitalized private corporation. It's based out of the Twin Cities, and it's an entirely criminal enterprise today, and it's Cargill, and we can, you know, use the name because
Daddy Bush. Daddy Bush Corp.
You see, they're all connected, and they're all connected through, there's two economies. And Joffrey, I regret that we're really limited. We got about 10 minutes, guys. And for the listeners, we'll do another show. If you're liking what we're talking about, we'll talk more about it. And let's do now. Joffrey, can you kind of tie the knot here? We are really at the fulcrum. I mean, we think that Trump is going to expose some very major things about the criminality and corruption through Rudy Giuliani. But do we really know very much about what's going to be exposed? But a lot of it comes down to the economy, and we have a phony stock market. It is nothing but smoke and mirrors. It is all digital. There's nothing real about it. It's the last market to circle the drain right now. But boy, once America
the real estate market, they're draining now, Paul. That'd be the final blow to it, in my opinion. They're going to steal house after house, but go ahead.
Of course they are, because all of us that think we own the title and the deed, aren't we in for a big surprise? But Joffrey, it's your turn.
Yeah, you know, the biggest pool of money is the bond markets. And when you, as a country, you lose that confidence for those who purchase large. There's some pools of money floating around, sloshing around the globe are too large to even go maybe even into the stock market with all of it. So you get to this bond market, which is a debt instrument, which they buy in huge quantity. But the problem is, if you puncture a little hole in a raft, it doesn't sink all at once, but it takes on water. And that's where we're at with this bond market of ours.
Isn't the bond market pretty much tied to all the banks?
Oh, yeah. Well, because the banks interchange with – now, there is something you bring up here, Stu. LIBOR is something that the banks use for overnight trading of setting rates.
London International Banking Overnight Rate. And it used to be more significant because banks used to loan each other money overnight. That's how regulated and tight the margins were. But LIBOR really doesn't matter like it used to because, in fact, it's so phony that even LIBOR is like a dinosaur. We have moved way beyond, in my estimation. Now, you guys can correct me.
Doesn't the International Monetary Fund control basically supposed to report on all this?
Well, the Bank of International Settlements is the final arbiter, but
yeah,
go ahead,
John. The BIS, Bank of International Settlements, is shaped like a giant boot. If that's, you know, if you want to look it up, a picture of the Bank of International Settlements looks like a giant boot. To step on the throats of those underneath of it. But, yeah, you got the BIS and you got the IMF and working in conjunction because you got to remember if you destroy a currency, you destroy a function of trade, you've got to have a replacement for it. And so this is where they're talking about these SDRs, these selective drawdown receipts that will be a pool of currencies from multiple countries that then back up, you know, again, more fiat out of nothing currencies to back up a bond, which is backed by the integrity of the country issuing the bond. I mean, basically, yeah, every country can basically say that. Yeah, they can all say the same thing. Well, we'll just issue more currency. And part of the problem they ran into in some of these countries, I'm going to speed this up, but some of these countries is they, rather than you give somebody $100 million and they're going to pay you 3% interest, and in 10 years you get your $100 million back, they're saying, no, we really can't roll your bond forward again and pay you off your $100 million of principal, but we're going to extend your maturity another 10 years. So you're going to get your 3%.
They're going to hold your money for 10 more years before they pay you anything.
Yeah, and then, of course, deflate the value of that money by issuing additional denominations in the same currency. So, yeah,
didn't they do this under the Obama administration? He signed an order that the Federal Reserve could do this, as I recall, where they can issue and say, okay, on the day that they pull the plug on everybody and say, you're going to take a vaccination, we're going to pull your plug or whatever, or they start pulling plugs on people. But they can go in and say, oh, we own your bank account. We just confiscate your $10,000 you had in your bank account. Lucky if I had that. I don't have anything like that. But say I did. They confiscate it, and they sign an IOU to me from the bank for 5 years that we will pay you dividends, a rate of this percentage on your money, but we're holding your money because our bank's collapsing, and we have the right, because you signed this when you signed up for your bank account in the past 5 years. Is that true or not?
Yes.
Yes.
At the bank right now, you're a claimant or a creditor. I regret
right.
that I have to wind things up now, and everyone kind of gets their final point. Heidi, you've been very patient. What can you add to what you've heard, or if you want to go a different direction, we want you to give your closing analysis for at least today.
You know, ultimately, we know that in end times, we know the mark of the beast will have to be, people will have to either take the mark of the beast or turn their back on it. We know those who are Christians, we will choose, hopefully, those who understand the severity of taking the mark of the beast understand that we will not take that. We will suffer the consequences for it. However, it will be short term. We got to keep our eyes on eternity, because this life is not our own here on earth. That what God has planned for us in heaven is beyond what our wildest dreams could ever be. So we need to be prepared that if for some reason we are led to the slaughter, whether it be by bullet, by guillotine, whatever the case may be, we need to remember our lives are not our own, and we are to give them up. And until then, we are to be the hands and feet of Christ, sharing the gospel and sharing prophecy and truth. So, brothers, I love all three of you. I am honored to be on this program. I'm blown away, and I do want to also say to any of the listeners at this time of year, it's the end of the year, we're coming up on Thanksgiving, many people are hurting, needs are needing to be met, and if you have extra, would you please consider sharing what you have with other people. Additionally, if you really appreciate what Stu does and the investment that he makes in all of our lives by sharing truth, would you please consider pouring out beyond what you normally would in giving and providing funding to him through his website? I ask that through the blood of Jesus. I truly do, because we need to have him and his warrior-like truth-telling and a voice for the truth. God bless you, brothers.
And Heidi, thanks for that. You know, when people ask other people, sometimes people contribute. And I have had a couple of people help me out, and I thank God for that. But let me tell you, folks, help out other people this year. There are people moving out of cities, homeless, being kicked out. They can't afford rent. They're chefs. They're waitresses. All these small businesses. Go to Solari.com. Ex-HUD. The girl is sent in Captain Fitz to clean up HUD. Got smashed under Jack Kemp after I caused the HUD scandal. And then 10 years later, she contacts me. Me and Al Martin, Steve Dinnerstein, and the conspirators, you can see us. We tried to help her. She didn't take the help, and she ended up with nothing. She was a whistleblower, hired off of Wall Street to clean up HUD after I caused a HUD scandal. And I meet her 10 years later. She calls me. Here's the point. Got smashed. She's reporting. They're killing the small businesses, my Zell boys, the New World Order, the Council of 12, the Jesuits, to take over all those small business buildings so they can buy them out and do the new, what do they call it, something 2020. Now it's 2030. Remind me. For the inner city living. Take your bus ride. No cars. Be in your high rise. This is what it's all about. It's part of the last part of the distinction of the human race, in my opinion. So, hi.
You're here.
You and Jeff.
You nailed it. You guys, we got to wind it up.
We're going to wind it out. I'm going to wind up my minute here. Folks, if you had met Heidi like I did in person, after talking to her many times on the phone, and Jeff, you know who I'm dealing with, and Paul. I already know him and the wisdom and knowledge he has and his, where his heart is. You're going to start listening. We're going to do this two times a week, but I want you to listen to me. These people are warriors for God Almighty. That's the reason I'm doing this program. We've got to bring the truth because they see the other side. I can bring spooks on. If you want a couple of spooks, they'd probably come on with me. What good is that going to do? It's not. We see the scene. We know the game. And if your heart is with God Almighty right now, Jesus Christ, and you got the Holy Spirit flowing in you somewhat, and you start praying, you will find you're empowered. Now, Paul's preached on the Jesuits. I was infiltrating Las Vegas and a group of us, Christians. We pulled out of the churches, several groups, four or five groups. We were infiltrated by those punks. I mean, they sought us out. Guess where they tied back to, Paul? It was one of the Rockefellers, 666. It's Global Communications. It had 666 that wrapped the world that was intertwined, was his logo. And shortly thereafter, he sends me an email. And I'm going to post it up underneath the show tomorrow, the New World Order, how it began in 2001, they thought. He told me all the plans. It followed revelations. So I'm going to post that up with this, Paul. It never happened. Prayer stops things, folks. With that, Paul, pick it up. Who's going to lead us in prayer?
Well,
remarks by everybody.
Joffrey, I just want to make a comment. My friend Johnny Cerucci, I think, would be very willing to come on, and I don't think our audience is probably familiar with Johnny Cerucci, and Johnny and I, we've had really some great conversations, and he really knows more about the Jesuits than I do, and actually he's written four or five books. And I'm going to invite him on to the show, Stu, and I think the listeners are going to love that one. Well, I don't, love is a kind of a strange word, but Johnny's a born-again believer and very compelling, very persuasive. We will pick up that thread because I think once you understand that the Jesuits are really the Chaldeans, and most of us that are familiar with the Bible know who the Chaldeans they still are, and it ties back to, of course, the fallen ones, and you connect Egypt and Sumer and Greece, and it's really pretty simple and straightforward. We're in a spiritual battle. We are in the flesh and the carnal, but our solutions are spiritual. Joffrey, you get to, I'd like you to lead us in prayer if you could, but could you make a closing comment and then lead us in prayer?
You know, we gotta not hang on so tightly, but, you know, everything that we have, we're told to hang on too loosely because it's not ours. And I think a good example of that is just even the time to spend with Stu like we did. There's a gentleman who holds on with us. He gives his shirt off his back. Rarely will you meet anybody more kind and generous. And it goes out to you, Paul, too. This was a great format, a great show, great way to get truth out. And listeners, ask somebody else to listen in with you. Hopefully, if there's feedback or comments you want to make, I'd love to hear questions. We welcome those. So, anyway, with that being said, there's so much going on. Stay in tune. Take care of each other. Keep an eye on everybody you know and love. And if we've got some information for you, tune us in, and hopefully we can provide some answers. But otherwise, yeah, we'll just pray at this point. Heavenly Father, so much, so many things you juggle, and yet what are they to you? How easy it is for you to see us, all the billions of people and all the things and the lights and the cars and the horns, and slow it all down, slow it down just to where we are, us and the listeners who need you, and we all need you. Would you especially put a blessing upon us? We ask for you to give us one. We're wrestling in the flesh with so many things. And so many things are put out before us as obstacles that it's hard to discern what is truth. And so we need that antenna. We need that antenna really extended to the point where when you're speaking, we hear you. Don't let us be drowned out by the world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boast of the pride of life are the enemy of the spirit. And those are things that we must have encouragement from you. We confess our sins before you and lay out our souls, and we bear all to you because... Who else are we going to talk? I mean, you are it, Lord. You are it. You're the redemption. You're the salvation. You're the God who parts the seas and the chariots get caught, but yet the people get to the dry land. We look to you for that deliverance, as in the days of Noah. So it will be in the time of the end. Everything will continue to seem to be going on in marriage and giving in marriage and things that take place in those last days of Noah. We're seeing a lot of things now. It is time to wake up. No longer time to be a sleeper. Keep those lamps full of oil, and then don't be caught without the oil, and don't be caught where God might be embarrassed before our Lord. Strive to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. I thank you for these men and women. I thank you for these listeners. Continue to pray for each other, support each other, need each other. We're not meant to be islands. We're meant to interact with each other. We praise God for that, and I thank you for everything you do for all of us. I'm sorry if we don't thank you enough. We ask for the forgiveness of those around us, for our children, for the lives of people that maybe have not yet confessed and we don't know about. We ask for that to be forgiven and brought to their attention. But pour yourself out upon us and do not let us be deceived. This is the time of deception. And with politics and with all the things that we see, it would be very easy to be tricked or deceived by what's going on. Give us discernment. Let us see truth, let us see honesty, and let us see your mighty arm move in our lives. We ask for that power to be revealed, and you are so beyond capable, we can't imagine it. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, brothers and sisters, or sister.
Thanks, all of you. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Paul, Heidi, Jeff, thank you also. Thank God Almighty.